Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This is the audio version of our live Sunday morning gathering. To view our live Sunday morning gathering, go to pcctoday.com.
All right. Welcome to Portland Christian Center. Go ahead and find your seat. For a second there, I thought Pastor Jason said, find somebody you can hug for 60 seconds. And I saw some people get a little, I don't know, about 60 seconds. We're still in church. But hey, so glad that you're here. We're in a series right now on the blessed life, discovering God's definition of what it really means to be blessed. And we've been challenging everyone to this week, and actually last 2 weeks, in your car, to make a declaration. Do you remember what that declaration was? Oh, come on. We know it. That's fantastic. Online, I almost heard you through the chat. All right, let's try and say that together. Jehovah Jireh. Very good. We were a little confused. Some said my provider, some said it back to me again. I'm gonna say Jehovah Jireh. You say my provider. You ready? Jehovah Jireh. Yes, and I am so proud. So many of you actually sent in video of this, and I thought it'd be fun to watch some people do this in their car. Now, this is raw footage. This isn't like, this is people shooting videos. It's like America's Funniest Home, but no, it's better than that. All right, here we go. Let's watch some declarations together.
Hey, guys.
Jehovah Jireh!
Jehovah Jireh!
Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Jehovah Jireh!
My provider!
Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Heading to work? Jehovah Jireh is my provider.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Jehovah Jireh!
My provider.
Do you remember? Ready?
Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Yeah, come on. It really is important for us to make those declarations, isn't it? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Why is that so important? Because you and I will encounter things all week long that will try to make you not believe that. When we face obstacles, we face challenges, we face things, and it's like, is God really going to provide? Is he really going to see me through? It's interesting that whenever you do, and I've done this a few times, whenever you're a part of a series on giving or tithing or offerings, a lot of people get nervous, especially pastors. And I think it's because nothing gets to the heart faster than your finances. You know how I know? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And isn't it just fascinating? The moment you start talking about money, people start feeling a little funny. Yeah. And we could go all day talking about, oh, maybe we shouldn't say this, maybe we shouldn't say that. And I want you to just ask yourself, in the deepest part of my heart, my heart of hearts, do I trust God? Do I trust God? Is Jehovah Jireh my provider? Today, we are going to jump into a subject that maybe you haven't heard about. It's a subject, when we talk about finances, that I think a lot of us, if I'm going to be completely honest, maybe don't even believe this is real. I've heard it said, the greatest trick the devil ever played was to convince the world that he did not exist. We live in a world, the Bible tells us, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the dark world. There is a spiritual realm at work that is real. We believe that, the Bible teaches that. But for some reason, and you'll see in a moment, when we talk about a spirit that can affect different things, there is American idealism and world where people actually believe, oh, that's just, you know, for kids, that's fun. And they don't actually believe that there's a spirit behind that the enemy's trying to put into your mind and my heart. And here's what the spirit is. You ready? A spirit of fear. You see, in 1 Timothy, it actually says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The enemy wants you to be afraid. Afraid of what? That God will not provide. And there's a battle for who you're going to trust today. So as we get started today, I want to pray that you would have eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see what God has for you, and that the fear would be broken off your life. Because you know what fear is really trying to do? Control you. Trying to control every part of your life. So who's up for breaking off some fear this morning? Anybody else with me? So Father, right now, yeah, come on. Let's give the Lord a clap for that. Because he's the one that breaks it off. It's the anointing that breaks off the chains of bondage. Amen? So Father, right now we break off the spirit of fear that wants to control and manipulate people. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. You have no authority, no place in our lives. And we say yes to you, Jesus. We welcome the power and work of the Holy Spirit to give us love, anointing, power, and sound mind. I thank you for that, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So if you would grab your Bibles, I'm going to show you how there's a spirit at work to control you and what you believe about God and your finances. In Luke chapter 16, verse 9, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. It's really important today that maybe if you don't have the New King James Version, follow along on the screens, because your Bible will actually say something different. There's different ways to translate this. But when you go back and you study it, this is the actual word that is used, and you'll know what I'm meaning in just a moment when we read it. Luke chapter 16, verse 9. And this is Jesus talking. He's just finished telling a parable, which is a story with a heavenly meaning. And there's principles that are going to be pulled out when we talk about this. And Jesus is going to translate for us what this actually means. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Luke 16, verse 9, and this is what it says. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous, and here's the spirit, you ready? Mammon. Mammon. Now, some people have never even heard of that, and I'll explain what mammon is in just a moment. And in a lot of Bibles, it translates it as riches. Maybe your Bible says riches. We'll go there in just a moment, and it means that, but there's something deeper here. This is what it says, by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, now I want you to pay attention to that word fail. Say fail. We're going to come back to that in a moment. That's an important sentence. They may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust and what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous, here's that word again, mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Now, this is the key verse for understanding what we're going to talk about today, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. And this is the key. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you're taking notes this morning, the big idea is this. You can only serve one. You can only serve one. Say one. There is something about that big idea that drives Americans, myself included, crazy. Do you want to know why? We like choices. We have an entire ice cream store called the 31 Flavors. And there's more than 31. I've checked. We don't like to limit our options. We think that we can pick and choose and do all kinds of things. And the truth is, in most areas, you can. But Jesus shows up and he says, actually, you only have two choices. And your heart will either be completely loyal and love one, or you will, and then you will hate the other, or you choose the other one, and you hate the other one. You only have two choices. And it's so fascinating that he says that you can either choose between God and mammon. So you're probably thinking, Pastor Nate, please tell us what this whole mammon thing is about. If you're newer to church, you're like, well, what is mammon? Don't worry, we're gonna get there. But we're gonna ask ourselves today three questions that will help us grow in living generously. And the first question is, number one, what is mammon? What is mammon? The word mammon is used in the Bible only 4 times. Jesus uses it 3 times, and it's an Aramaic word, and it comes from the Syrian god of riches. Say Syrian god, now it's a little g, of course, of riches. You see, the Syrians, they came from Babylon, and if you remember, if you read the Bible and you go back, Babylon was where they built, at the very beginning, they rebuilt this tower because they believed that they could get to heaven and become gods. That's called the Tower of Babel, where Babylon came from. And out of that chaos and destruction, which is, by the way, what mammon means, it means chaos and disorder, they decide to say, we don't need God, we can provide on our own. And if you bow to mammon, if you worship mammon, you will have everything you need. And so what Jesus is saying, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon is a spirit, I want you to hear this, is a spirit that contrasts itself with God. I'm going to show you the contrast in just a moment, but I want you to hear this. This is so important because mammon is actually looking, the spirit, for servants. That's why Jesus would say things like this: choose today whom you will serve. And it comes out in so many different forms, but I believe one of the ways that it comes out is when people preach this gospel called the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel is this: I give to get. I know that if I give this, God will bless me. And I get a Mercedes, a Rolex watch, and a brand new wig. And everything is just perfect. Here's the problem with that. When you don't get what you want and things break, you blame God. You see, the problem with the prosperity message is that he gave. God is the most generous father ever thought of, creative in the entire planet that you could ever imagine, think, or design. You are not the most generous person in the world. God is. God is. He loves you so much. And what my prayer is today is that you will see the contrast, because it's opposing forces. Who will you serve? Mammon or God? Mammon promises you everything that only God can give. I want to read this quote to you. It says this: mammon promises us those things that only God can give: security, significance, identity, independence, power, and freedom. Mammon tells us it can insulate us from life's problems and that money is the answer to every situation. Have you ever had this thought? If only I had more money. We got some honesty. And yet, when you see Jesus in the Gospels and throughout Scripture, right, walking around, talking, someone said, hey, my hand's crippled. My father is dead. Your servant is sick. You never once heard Jesus said, we need more money. I need more money. In fact, when they asked him about how to pay something, he said, bring me that fish. And he pulled a coin out of the fish to pay for everything. The question is not, do you need more money? The question is, do you trust that God will provide? Do you actually trust that? And just like the rest of us, we got to be honest. We live in a world where it sure seems like things would get a lot better if I had a lot more money. It sure seems like that. Here is the big crux of the whole situation. There's a war for your spirit. There's a war for your soul. There's a war for your heart. And the question that you and I have to ask as we grow in this area of giving and tithing is, who do you trust will provide for your life? Money is not the answer to your problems. God is. Wasn't quite the resounding amen I was hoping for. And I think it's really good to lean into this tension for a moment. Because even as I'm saying it, there's something inside of us like, but Pastor Nate, you don't know my bank account. You don't know what I need. You don't know the doctor's bills. You don't know the credit card bills. You don't know what inflation is doing. You don't know where I'm at. I can barely feed my family. I can barely make ends meet. I need more money. Spirit of mammon. Because everything I just ranted and raved about, we probably all had internal dialogues. Or maybe we've said it to our pillows in tears. You're depending on mammon to provide, not God. And we can come to church and look all pretty and nice and then go home and say, God, why aren't you providing for me? And I want to be very careful, because the reality is there are some of us in desperate situations. There are some of us that are looking to figure out how to make this life work and how to make ends meet and all those different things. But you have to see clearly what the battle really is. As we were praying today and getting ready, the Lord was showing me that he's going to upgrade some of us today that are looking for an upgrade, because he won't force us on you. And he showed me a picture of contact lenses. That some of us here have been seeing the world one way, and God wants to open your eyes through the power of the Holy Spirit to see with new eyes today. To break the yoke of bondage, because you won't change unless you see what God wants you to see. You won't trust him if you don't see what God wants you to see. So the question that we need to ask is, who am I serving? I can only serve one. Big idea, you can only serve one. So what do you see? What do you see? So mammon is a spirit. I'm going to say something next that might be a little controversial. Maybe you don't like this. Maybe you disagree with me. As I've studied it, I truly believe this. Money has a spirit on it. Money has a spirit on it. And I'll prove it to you in just a moment. You'll see it. But I want that to sink in. Maybe you should write that down. Does money really have a spirit on it? That seems kind of funny to say that. In just a moment, I'm going to show you exactly how Jesus said it, because it breaks it off. And the reason is, and again, I want to say this as gently and kindly as I can. Satan doesn't want you to think there's a spirit behind it. He wants you to close your eyes and keep your eyes fixed on what you don't have rather than Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He wants you to see the lack, not the provider. He wants you to see the lost, not the found. It's always a focus on who has your attention. Always. Who has your heart? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? So I got to be careful right here. This is something you also have to understand. Here's the next question. If there's a spirit on money, the next question a lot of people ask, this is number two, is money evil? Is money evil? No! Money is neutral. You probably have heard this quote, but it's actually a Bible verse and people say it wrong. 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Loving and serving mammon, that's the root of evil." It's loving money. Verse 9 in Luke 16, I want you to go back to that, and this is what it says. "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, and that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting home." When you read that, I'll be honest with you, the first time I read that, I didn't quite understand what that meant. I thought it was like, use kind of like worldly wealth to make some friends and God will bless you. It's like a shrewd thing. I'm not really sure what all that means. But as I was studying it, I realized I totally misunderstood what it meant. It means make friends with money and people so they'll do a favor for you. No. The key to understanding this is that word "you fail." There's a Greek word there called eklepo. Say eklepo. Eklepo means to fail or end. Here's what it's actually saying. That when you die, when your life comes to an end, there will be riches waiting for you in heaven. Did you know that? There will be rewards for you in heaven. The greatest reward's Jesus. We got that out of the way. But did you know that you earn riches and rewards in heaven? Do you want to know how you can do that? I'm going to give you a few ways. Number one, Jesus says this, when you pray and fast in private, by yourself. I love the story where Joyce Myers is with Christine Kane, and Christine Kane gets up to speak and they give her a huge standing ovation. She's young, just learning, and as she's walking down the stairs, Joyce Myers says to her, "Did you enjoy that?" She's like, "Well, kinda." "Well, that's all the reward you're gonna get." And she was like, "Ooh, burn." When you pray quietly by yourself, your Father in heaven, he sees you. He'll reward you. The next one, did you know that you will get rewards in heaven when you forgive somebody? When you share the gospel? When you love your enemies? You endure insults and persecution? And here's the next way, you ready? When you tithe. The fastest way to break the spirit of mammon over your life is to redeem it. How do you redeem money? By tithing. So going back to that verse, I want us to see this. What he's saying is, and I'll read it again. "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon." What's he saying? Redeem the money. Redeem it. And when you redeem it, you're gonna make friends. When it says friends, it means leading them to Christ. So that when you die, when you pass away, and you go into the everlasting home, where's the everlasting home? Heaven. You're gonna see people in heaven that when you, along with a lot of other people, and the reason I pulled them out is because of this. They didn't do that for your applause. You know how I know that? Because I've talked to them. Yeah. I've been in their house. And I think there's more Africa in their house than anywhere else in the world, on the United States continent. They do that because they want to see people in heaven. When you give your tithes, you have to see the true riches in it. Because when you die, the only thing that you're going to take to heaven with you are souls. Every time we give, whether it's tithes and then above that your offerings and you give to missions and we build wells, there will be people in heaven that are going to say, "Thank you for giving. I am here because you participated and you gave. When the Holy Spirit spoke to you, you jumped on it." My question for you is, are you storing up rewards in heaven? You see, mammon wants you to store up rewards on earth. God says, we're going to store up riches that moth and rust cannot destroy. There was a man also in our church named David Martin. His wife's here. We love David, who passed away in Africa. And after talking with her and David, it was not a sacrifice to give his life away. He saw it as a great privilege. As hard as that is, he lived for eternity. We are living for eternity, church. We have to wake up and see the world for what it is. There are people attacking Israel. Why? Because they hate God. We got to say it just the way it is. It's true. We don't have to ask ourselves, I wonder why there's fighting. We already know why there's fighting. There's an enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy God's people. And what is our response? To be afraid? That's the spirit of mammon. It's also, interestingly enough, the spirit of the Antichrist. How do I know that? If you fast forward to Revelation, the way that you will not be controlled is not the fear of nuclear war and attack. Here it is. Listen to this. The spirit will be this. You will no longer be able to buy and sell unless you take the mark. That's the spirit of mammon. Controls your finances. The spirit of mammon says, oh, I'm so afraid. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I can do it. And all of the saints in heaven are shouting, our God is the king. Our God is your provider, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I don't trust anybody else, anything else but him. And there are people in heaven, the Bible says, the great cloud of witnesses cheering you and I on. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Did you know that? It's real. But Satan wants to think, oh, those are just, I don't know. Is that really real? Why do we do all of the things that we do? Because we're living for eternity. What Jesus is saying is, who will you serve? Who will you serve? You cannot serve both God and mammon. So if you're with me today and you're like, man, Pastor Nate, how do I, point number three, how do I break the spirit of mammon? Maybe you're here this morning, you're like, man, as you were talking, I could kind of see that. I can see the spirit of mammon where I felt I need control. And I bow to consumerism. I bow to comparison. I've got to have the house that looks like that. I got to have a car like that. I got to have a watch like that. I was listening to a pastor and he was saying that he had a friend. Every time they'd see something nice or a house or something, everybody would start oohing and aahing. He'd say, it's going to burn. Anybody ever know somebody like that? Like, it's going to burn. We all know in Revelation at the end, it will all burn. But the way to break the spirit of mammon is to live for eternity. Another way to break it, you ready for this? And so many of us have jumped on the 90-day tithe challenge. It's been, we're over 90 people that are doing it, by the way. Isn't that incredible, what God's doing? I thought it was incredible. But one of the quickest ways to break the spirit of mammon is to start tithing. And not just to start tithing, but to be faithful in your tithing. Why? Because you're redeeming your money. You're breaking the spirit of mammon off of your money. And you're putting God's blessing upon it. Didn't the Bible say when you give your tithe, what did Jesus say? See if I will not pour out a blessing upon you which you cannot contain. That's Jesus. That's the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing how when you look at your finances, we don't really look at our money and think, oh, is there a spirit on this or not? Absolutely there is. And the only way it's redeemed is when it's given to God first. Because you give to give. How to break greed. How do you break greed? You give. You give. Want to know why? Because it hurts. Have you ever watched somebody when they're taking their wallet like, oh, I don't know. It hurts. Why? Because the spirit of mammon is literally trying to pull you. Say, if you give, you will not have enough. Jehovah Jireh. It's all about the heart. As I'm talking, I could just tell someone's like, man, is he always going to talk about money? No. But today, why? Because I can tell by some of the looks on your faces, this is painful. Why? Because God's getting at your heart. He's getting at your heart. Because you're like, Pastor Nate, I don't know. I want to be faithful. I want to give. I want to. Good intentions don't get us anywhere, do they? It's a step of faith. It's direction. It's obedience. You can only serve one. Luke 16:10 through 12. I want to go back to a little bit part of this passage, then we'll get ready to close. It says, "He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches of heaven?" Do you understand what he's saying? If you have money in your hands until God blesses it, it's unrighteous. In other words, if you're not tithing, it's not blessed. If God's going to entrust, if you're not faithful with the little that God's given you, how can God give you more? And if you have not been faithful with what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? This verse came to life for Mayel and I in 2012, unbelievably. We were youth pastors at Stone Church, and we were excited youth pastors, fired up. We would do something called Speed the Light, which we still do, which raises money for missions, for missionaries, vehicles, and other things. And we were so excited, and we even did a campaign called My One Shirt. We wore the exact same shirt for 30 days that literally said My One Shirt, and I bought shirts for all the teenagers, all to raise. I mean, we were crazy, right? We were doing all kinds of stuff. Don't worry, I washed it every day. I think I bought an extra one just so I could have it. So all the money went toward, but some of our teenagers, they didn't. Whew, they were smelly. All of it was to raise money. And so we asked the kids, hey, next week we're gonna give to the Lord. I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit how much we're supposed to give. So Mayel and I talked that night, and we both prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave us the exact same number, $500. And that was a lot for us. We were youth pastors, one income. She stayed at home with Titus, and we just lived very, very frugally. And so $500, that was a stretch. I'll just be honest. That was a big stretch for us. And so we prayed about it. We didn't even have it. We were like, how are we going to do this? So that Sunday, it was my turn to preach, and I'm preaching. And after service, someone walks up and hands me a note. And I knew who he was, but he handed me a note, and he says, can we get coffee this week? And I'm like, sure, okay. So we get coffee. And I show up, and he's kind of shaken. Like, you know how some people are kind of like trembling, like nervous almost, like nervous energy. So he's giving me nervous energy. I'm like, oh man, what is he going to tell me? And he said, I've never done this before, but while you were preaching, the Holy Spirit told me that I'm supposed to give you this. And I'm not supposed to share with anyone else to get any credit other than you and your wife need to know. And I said, okay, awesome. So he prayed for me, and he left. I open up the envelope after he leaves. There's a check in there for guess how much? $500. And this is how I want you to know, and I want you to prove to you that the spirit of mammon is a spirit. The moment that $500 is in my hand, I started hearing voices. Not gonna lie. You can pay off some debt. You can buy some things. You can finally go to a nice hotel with your wife and get away. Yeah! And I started seeing, I mean, have you ever been like watching television or out somewhere and you see everything you've ever wanted? Okay, some of us are like, oh yeah, come on, we've all been there. And I remember that week, it was one of the worst weeks of my life because I sat on the check. I sat on it. I held it in my wallet and I literally sat on it. And there was this war in my spirit. If the moment he gave it to me, I knew God was saying, give it to Speed the Light. But the spirit of mammon was saying, keep it for yourself. Did I have to give it? Of course not. Because I had a choice. Who would I serve? So that week we go to an annual conference. And as we're going there, it's the Northwest Ministry Network up in Washington's annual conference. It's in Idaho. And all the pastors come in, and the key speaker, there's a guy named Rob Ketterling. He's a pastor in Minnesota. And guess what he's talking about? Giving. And he's talking about Speed the Light. He's talking about all these things. And their church gave over $1 million to missions that year. Amazing. And it's like the Holy Spirit's got a tractor beam right on my heart. Who are you going to serve? And I looked at my elders in the car and I said, the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me. I've been sitting on this. We need to give this money. We're going to trust God. This is what we got to do. And I went on my phone and I paid it and I deposited the check. And at that moment, I'm gonna tell you, that spirit was gone. I slept so good. It wasn't just that we were at the lake, the resort in Idaho, although that was nice too. It wasn't the hot tub. It wasn't the root beer. It wasn't the ice cream. Trust me, it was root beer, I promise. It wasn't all those things. It was because I had in my heart said, Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. We go to church that Sunday, get home that night, and I hadn't checked the mail yet. I go in and check the mail. And I go and I show my L, and we're opening things, and we open up a letter, and it was from a bank that we didn't, it was a long time ago, no idea, a check for $3,000. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And to this day, I remember looking at it and crying over it, and it was like the Holy Spirit speaking to my L in my heart, you can trust me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? As I'm talking today, I believe that there is a war for some of us here this morning. You know that you need to be faithful in your tithing. You know that you need to be faithful in your giving. You know that God, like you maybe you've been raised in church, and you know that you're supposed to trust God in everything. But there's a big but in your life. My marriage is not the way it needs to be. But I don't have enough money. But this job. But my teachers in school. But. Big but. Come on. I'm not going to sing the song, don't worry. The Holy Spirit is speaking to some of us this morning. Last week we were talking about giving. Didn't give an opportunity for salvation, but at the end of the service, someone received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Why? And I believe this with all my heart, because people are learning to trust Jehovah Jireh, my provider. If you're here this morning, with every eye open, everybody sitting down, no fancy music, just you and Jesus right now. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Is there any area of my life where I am not trusting God? Jehovah Jireh? My provider. Yep, sorry. Jehovah Jireh? Or Mammon? The spirit of Mammon that wants to control you with fear and get you to live a small life. Can I just say something really quickly before I have you respond? One of the core values that Mayel and I are deeply committed to in our whole staff, but we prayed before we came here, that we would be a church that develops people. That we would be a church that has big-hearted people. That we would all grow up together to be generous, life-giving, full of hope, full of faith. Why? Because Jehovah Jireh is our provider. We don't just want to have a big church. We want to grow big people. And what do big people look like? People full of faith in the Holy Spirit. People that trust God that He is our provider. He is your provider. Do you trust God to be your provider? If I could have the worship team come, if everyone would stand with me. I believe that the enemy is trying to steal and kill this message out of your spirit right now. If you're here this morning, I said earlier about the contact lenses, Please just understand it's a metaphor. I'm not trying to be like, I don't know, selling contact lenses or anything like that. But I do believe there's a war for who you're going to trust. I do believe there's a war for who you're going to surrender to. I do believe that there's a real battle going on right now in this room and actually all over the world that people are watching this. There's a real battle. If you're here this morning, and as I was teaching today, you're like, Pastor Nate, I see it. I see it maybe for the first time. I've been looking to the wrong God. Even though I read my Bible, even though I go to church, I'm looking to the wrong God. I want mammon to provide, not Jehovah Jireh, my provider. If that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you right where you're at. If you're struggling to trust God, thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Lots of hands. Thank you. Come on, hold it up high. This is the freedom hand. There's no judgment. My goodness. No judgment. This is freedom. If you're trusting in anything else, let's break that spirit of mammon right now in Jesus' name. So Father, you see all the hands. I pray right now in Jesus' name, we break off right now the lies of the enemy. And we declare right now that we would have fresh eyes, that we would see the spirit of mammon, and we would break that off by giving, by surrendering, by trusting you alone, Jesus. I thank you for every person that's here, every person that raised their hand. I ask right now, Lord Jesus, that you would be their provider. I bless, maybe rededicate your life to him. Is there anybody here that's in the house that's like, man, I need to dedicate my life? All right. In the house, we're okay. I don't know about online. If that's you, you could put something in the chat. Would you pray with me? We're just going to pray for people. So Father, right now, I thank you for every person. I ask that they would receive you as their Lord and Savior. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask the prayer partners to come down because I'm just going to give this. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What's he speaking to you? As we worship, if you want prayer about that, come forward. It's open. If you want prayer on anything, we would love to pray with you. Amen? Let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.